You're listening to Into the Blender,
Episode 1.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop the thing.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discuss topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
But it really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall. And time goes nowhere when you're too careful.
Welcome to episode 1 of Into the Blender. I'm Chooch.
And I'm Viv.
And we've got news, right?
Sure, we've got news. Always.
What's going on new with us? Well, yesterday we went and saw the Nightmare Before Christmas 3D. I almost did what you do.
I always call it Nightmare on Elm Street for Christmas, and I get confused.
It was almost there.
It was. I saw you look at me like, okay, let me say this slowly.
So we went and checked out yesterday with T and one of his cousins. Had a lot of fun. Disney marketing genius.
Brilliant.
Just before the movie had a trailer in 3D.
Right.
For another 3D movie that's coming down the road that looks an awful lot like Land of the Lost.
You know, I don't even know that the movie is in 3D, but the fact that the trailer... I don't remember seeing... It said...
Announcing the first 3D movie shot in digital film or something. Okay,
because I was just too busy going, it's so cool, the trailer's in 3D. Oh my gosh, Brendan Fraser looks so hot. Yeah. But, you know, I didn't really read anything that they put on the screen. I was just like, drool in 3D. But it was very, very cool because the trailers and the turn off your cell phones and go buy Coke and popcorn and... Then it says put on your glasses and then you get another trailer and it was just like really cool. Yeah.
I didn't really have any expectations. I hadn't really heard that they were even doing it, I think, until you said, and the kids wanted to do Nightmare.
Oh no, you didn't 3D. See the commercials?
No.
No, they've been running them. And
so I didn't have any real, I haven't really watched TV.
No.
So I didn't have any expectations. I was just thought it was really cool to be able to see it on a big screen again.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched it since like the DVD came out.
Yeah. It's been a long time for me too.
Yeah. So it was cool just to see it on the screen again.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it really warranted being 3D-ized. The effects were really minimal, which is a good thing that it wasn't out there.
Well, and that's what I think I liked about the movie the first time it came out 11 years ago or 12 years ago, however long ago it was that it wasn't like this big over the top, you know, really, really super. It was that kind of stripped down Tim Burton claymation stuff that just is so cool because it's not so perfectly animated, drawn.
Right.
I mean, it is, but it's not like meticulously so human or so real looking. It's got that. If this is a fantasy, you don't ever forget that.
Yeah. I just didn't think that the 3D, that it really warranted being in 3D, that it really added all that much. I mean, a little more depth, but the quality was stunning. I mean, I can't deny.
It was fabulous.
It really looked good.
Yes, I snapped out fabulous. It was that good. I don't agree with that. I thought that it lent itself beautifully to the 3D, and I, throughout the movie, honestly, I was kind of waiting for a point for them to kind of pull back and do less. Like, okay, it's 3D and we've done some 3D and we're going to take a little digital 3D break now. But there was just, for me, there was the whole movie. There was a lot of that, wow, this is really in 3D. It's so damn awesome. I just loved it. I loved it.
It was really good.
Yeah, they did a great job. We had a guy sitting behind us that was saying, oh, they changed the movie and, you know, was claiming that they shortened the songs and that they changed some of the scenes, which I like, you know, I'm not that goth chick that memorized every frame of the movie. So I can't speak to that, but if they did, I don't think it lost anything in the translation. I thought it was really, really, really good.
And it had been so long since I saw it, I didn't notice. I didn't miss anything.
Right.
It didn't seem like it to me. If they did, that's fine.
That's all right. You got to lose something. I mean, you can't keep everything.
It was,
yeah, it was good. It was really good, and the kids absolutely loved it. And it was just a real treat to see my nephew and our son sitting there doing the big eyes, you know, wide open, mouth wide open, and just going, whoa, it was really great.
Or during the end credits, and they had these little snapshots on the sides of the words, and they had their hands up like they were holding them, like they're holding these snapshot Polaroids. Well,
at the beginning when the pumpkin came out the screen, I did give it a little coochie-coo, tickle under the chin. I couldn't help myself. So that was great. That was a lot of fun. The kids really enjoyed it, and we really enjoyed it, I think.
Yeah. So I was going to talk about TV shows. There's been a whole bunch of new TV. Well, okay. Fall season, there's always a whole bunch of new TV shows.
There's actually some good ones now.
Yeah. And this particular season is like the record for sci-fi, fantasy, speculative fiction shows to come out. And I had... was feeling kind of guilty because before the new season started, I told myself that I was trying to make a bunch of changes in my life.
Right.
Well, together we've said we're going to try to make some changes. We're going to try to go to bed early.
Yeah.
Not play as many games.
Right.
We're going to try to get up earlier.
Eat healthier.
We're going to eat healthier. We're going to exercise.
Exercise. Yeah.
And
disconnect.
For me personally, I wanted to get up early to do some exercise, to do some writing, and to do all these things in your life, something has to give. And previously I was watching an obscene amount of television.
Right.
We have two TiVos, one in the living room, one in the bedroom.
They're usually full.
They're always full.
Yeah.
So I decided, okay, I'm not going to watch as many TV shows. And then they announced The Bionic Woman and Journeyman and Reaper and Chuck. And I just...
Well, and we have our old standbys, too.
Well, yeah.
The Office and Earl. My Name is Earl. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're big Survivor fans.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we are.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
So I've watched an episode or two of most of the new shows, but I'd already decided I'm only going to watch a couple. That I'm going to trim most everything out. So that's why I said I've been feeling kind of guilty that all these great new shows come out, all these sci-fi shows come out, and I'm not watching any of them. I decided the ones I'm going to hold on to, I'm going to keep watching The Office.
Oh, yeah. Because I'll make fun of you if you don't.
Oh, yeah. And we disagree. The first few episodes this season were an hour long.
I loved it.
You loved it.
I loved it.
I think an hour is too long. It just feels like it's... that the episode should end somewhere around the half-hour mark, and they don't.
And they don't. I would find myself going, oh my God, I can't believe how much they're fitting into this episode. And I'd look at it and be like 15 minutes. I'm like, holy hell, they gave us an hour. And it was like, oh, it must have just been for the first episode. Oh, the second episode. Oh. And I don't know how many episodes, three or four episodes, that they were full hour, and I was just in heaven.
I still really enjoy it. They're still hilarious.
But I think you get a lot more of the characters the more time they have to tell the story.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing with Dwight's beet farm bed and breakfast and his brother and that weird most. They wouldn't have had time for all that in a 30 minute.
That's true.
And they wouldn't have done it as a two-parter.
I guess just my American sitcom brain
just
wants
fast
to turn
food.
Off. At
yeah, we talk the about the fast food mentality where we want to get in, get our laugh, and get out and not have to bus our own table, really. But, yeah, I mean, I can understand that. But, I mean, I guess because they do the odd length shows sometimes, they do like 31 is the standard for a lot of shows now.
Yeah.
31 minutes instead of 30. And then sometimes you get like 41 or something. They do some other odd numbers sometimes. And since they brought Scrubs in behind it, I'm thinking that that was just their plan was to have Scrubs come in mid-season, give everybody an extra half hour, because then everybody would stick, because everybody loves The Office.
Right.
And so now, I think the last week they did, I didn't watch it, but it seemed like it was the last episode from last season of Scrubs So I'm thinking that they're going to roll into the new episode with Scrubs, and it's just going to have higher ratings because everybody's expecting a full hour of The Office. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right.
So, but I love Scrubs, too. I'm looking forward to that.
I think I'm over it. I haven't really kept on.
You're definitely over it because you didn't watch it all last season, I don't think.
Yeah, I caught it now and then. And it's funny.
It's so ironic.
I just don't know why.
It's ironic because you're the one that got me into that show. Yeah. I never watched it before. I didn't know what it was about, never paid any attention, and then you were into it, so mm-hmm. I started watching it, and now you don't. It's in that later seasons of its life of the series, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of formula, and the characters typically on shows that evolve over a long period of seasons, they become so exaggerated that they're more cartoonish and less believable, and all of that's happening, but I just still love it. I'm a loyal girl.
Yeah. So I'm definitely watching The Office, definitely watching My Name is Earl before it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
funny.
Hilarious. It's
funny as hell. You still have to watch the last episode that was on.
But also because I went to high school with Jason Lee.
Mm-hmm. So you've got that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we were like that.
You were just...
Okay, we weren't really like that.
Well, and he's wrapping his fingers together so that you can see the crossed fingers. I'm giving you a little peek through the fourth wall or the fourth speaker or whatever.
Yeah, it's not a video cast.
Yeah.
So, no, I think we actually... I'm pretty sure we had at least one class.
Well, then you're together. BFF.
But we definitely ran in different circles. And he was a year ahead of me. Mm. Year older. But anyways, got a funny yearbook picture.
Yeah. Funnier one of you.
Oh. No.
Sorry, babes. I picked you over him. I'm not married to him. I'm married to you. That's so, true. You know.
Of course you haven't met him.
Oh, details.
And the new shows, I'm really liking Reaper. I think I watched all of them.
Oh yeah, so that's the one with the kid and the goofy friend, and they work at the
his buddy Sock.
Yeah, they work at the home improvement store. Yeah, that one. I always forget the name of that one.
Bounty
that
hunting one is for so the devil.
Funny. It's so clever.
Yeah, it's done really, really well. I watched a few of the Bionic Womans, and I think it's pretty good. I think they're doing a good job with it. And I loved Battlestar Galactica, but I just don't have time for it.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of the Bionic Woman. I don't know why, but I have absolutely no interest.
I've loved Battlestar Galactica, and we've really enjoyed Lost, and I think this is the season I'm going to dump both of them.
Yeah, I'm out on Lost. I loved the first season. They started losing me on the second season. I think in trying to keep everything interesting and more viewers and introducing all the new cast members, and it just grows and grows and grows. And then last season they killed Charlie, so I'm out. I loved Charlie. I just did.
Yeah.
So I'm over that show. Our teenager, M, is going to be through with us because, we got him hooked on that show. Mm-hmm. He's still really into it, and he thinks we're idiots for not jumping and watching it as soon as it's on. But we would end up letting 2, 3, sometimes 4 of them stack up last season. So I don't even think... Yeah.
And with Battlestar, for me, I know you've never watched it, but this whole thing where they're going to split the season, they're not going to show the next one till 2008 and split it in half and then not show the second half of the season till 2009.
That's exhausting.
It pissed me off when The Sopranos did it. And it's really pissing me off with Battlestar. And maybe the last season will come out on DVD and I'll just watch it all.
And that probably is what's going to happen.
Because on amazing storytelling and everything, but I just don't need to wait around.
Yeah.
Like that.
Keep you hanging like that, disrespecting you and whatnot.
Right. Let me know who I am.
Teasing you. Yeah, I never got into that show. The few that I watched with you, it wasn't like I hated it or anything like that, mm-hmm. but it just didn't grab me because it was later on. I didn't have anything invested in the characters or anything like that.
Yeah.
And one show that we enjoy, but we really enjoyed it last season, and so far this season we've been letting the episodes back up, is Heroes.
Mm, yeah.
Really, really, really loved the first season of Heroes, and I'm kind of worried that it's going to go the way of Lost, where they're already bringing in all of these characters, and you can already say, okay, hot chick, there's a love interest for someone, and hot dude, the brother and sister coming from, where is it, Mexico or wherever? Is that where they're coming from?
They're through Mexico.
Through Mexico.
To the United States, though.
But you can tell that they're just bringing a couple hot people because they need to mix it up. Need some more love going on. So it's just kind of like, oh, here we go. An influx of characters to keep our interest, when I really am fine with keeping the story going. Let me see some more evolvement of those characters, some more interesting stories. Throw in a character here and there.
Right.
But it looks like, I mean, it seemed like they really started bringing in a lot of characters.
Towards the end of the first season, it was going that way, where everybody is suddenly a hero.
Right.
Not a hero, but has powers.
Right.
Suddenly all the parents have powers. Uh-huh. Suddenly, everybody they introduce had a power, and it's been like that this season so far. But it still seems like they're kind of, they had this epic arc for the first season, and, it was the whole, save the cheerleaders, save the world, and then, who else is a hero or whatever. Right. So it has the big finale. And so I'm sure they're doing that. So they're kind of building up this new story and deepening the lore, and then there'll be some big build up to the end of the season again. So I'm keeping up with it. I know I've watched more episodes than you have.
Probably. I haven't had a lot of TiVo time so far.
And so, I do plan on still watching it. I don't watch it when it comes on. It might be a week or two late, and I watch a couple in a row. But I'm definitely still watching it.
As part of my secret shame of the whole celebrity stalking websites, TMZ and Perez Hilton and all of those, I don't know if you're aware of the rumors of the cheerleader. She just turned 18. Of course, there was a big countdown like there was for Lindsay Lohan and the Olsen twins. They would do a countdown. Well, she turned 18 and she broke up.
Legal.
Yeah, she broke up with whatever little Hollywood twit she was with. And then now she's not attached to anyone, but they keep putting her with Milo, the guy that plays Peter Petrelli, her uncle on the show.
Right.
And I know that they're not related in real life, but I'm always going, creepy. That's your uncle, bad girl, cheerleader gone bad. But I couldn't blame her. He's really good looking, but he's like 31 or something. So he's like a full teenager older than her. It's just, that's just your old uncle. That's bad. You know, come on, girl. But I mean, it's really one of those really good shows. Great casting, really interesting storyline. And curious to see how they bring Siler back in through, because I've only seen the first episode of the season. Nobody yell at me or anything like that. But seeing how they're going to bring him back, they're clearly going to bring him back because on my celebrity websites, Siler's filming, And I'm going to give you another nugget. Previously, there were three different actors on Lost that were arrested for DUI.
Oh, I just saw
and
that
then
today.
Their characters were killed off.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the blonde girl and Michelle Rodriguez, the tailies.
Right.
They were killed off. And then, what was his name on the show? I cannot pronounce his name in real life, but it was the guy that was a drug dealer and he was a minister. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
So he was arrested on DUI and then he was killed off.
All right.
And now Jen was just arrested in Hawaii. And now they're saying, the DUI Lost curse is he's going to get killed off this season. And I'm like, no, don't leave Sun alone.
Yeah. Now there's really no point in watching.
I know. Well, they killed Charlie. I ain't watching. I just can't forgive that. Sorry. I hold a grudge.
Gosh, that, after all that, it does sound like I'm still watching off a lot of TV.
Well, but you know what? Compared to what we used to watch.
That's true.
My God, we used to come home and unload the TiVo every night.
Yeah.
And now it's not even because we're playing the game. It's because we're doing other stuff with the kids or we're just running late or I'm studying and you're helping me with stuff around the house, picking up the slack. We just have so much going on. The only show, I think the show that I am most loyal to because I can do it in a 30-minute little nugget while I'm folding laundry. I don't have to pay that much attention or, drifting off to bed. Is Judge Judy. I am so loyal to that woman.
The people are real.
she just cuts through all of that nonsense and doesn't let anybody get away with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole excuses that people have for not taking care of their kids. So that's where we are this season, at least so far. We've got some, I think, some other new shows that are going to be, like, doing their season
premieres. There's some mid-season replacements, right. Sarah Connor Chronicles and a couple other shows.
That's where we are right now, and we really need to get caught up so we can actually talk better about some of this stuff. But that's where we are.
So I'll play a quick promo and then jump into the main topic today, which is homecoming. Cause I found the key to all your treasures. You're riding out, you're my girl.
In a world where evil supervillains run amok and corrupt superheroes care more about their hair than justice, one woman is caught in a web of manipulation. Keepsie Branson just wants to run her bar. She doesn't want to think about her old dreams of being a superhero or her tired ambitions to save the world. But the facts remain that Keepsie and her friends have powers too, and they will soon be needed as Seventh City falls into chaos, and no one knows who are the good guys and who are the bad. Playing for Keeps is a free audiobook from Murr Lafferty, available at playingforkeepsnovel.com.
The topic this week is adventures and homecoming.
Yes, our teen M has a girlfriend, has had one for just over 2 months now, and they went to homecoming tonight, and it was a big flurry of activity for the last, really, probably two weeks. It's been, I'm sure that his girlfriend has been in busy stage for a couple of weeks now. It's easier when you have a boy, somewhat. But we've really just only really been running around for the last week and a half or so, getting his, you know, his nice little shirt and his little tie and all of that stuff
sorted out.
Right. Because he's grown since he last wore it, so we had to have it lengthened. So it's been pretty exciting. It's all new territory for us. Having the girlfriend is new. Going to homecoming is very, very new, and he's very nervous. And it was a really interesting dynamic. Thank goodness that she's the kind of girl that kind of says, okay, this is what we need to get done. I've already made the reservations at the restaurant. This is where we're going to go. You don't have to wear a suit, but you're going to wear a suit. So I personally, I can totally relate with a girl like that, and I appreciate her very much. It took a lot of guesswork out of it for M and I.
Right.
So that was great. So we had an interesting little moment today. Of course, his father knows M's birth father, my ex-husband, knew that homecoming was coming up and, you know, had wanted to participate monetarily towards the corsage for her. And it was a different dynamic when we were growing up. He and I went to the same high school, and they did this big, ornate, huge mum that the girls would wear. It wasn't a little corsage. It was a gigantic chrysanthemum as big as a plate, and it had all these ribbons and bells and awful things hanging off of it, just ridiculous things. So to him, it was, oh, we're going to get this big, huge thing. And it was really just a little wrist corsage. That's all they do here. It's really simple and sweet and cute. And I guess what normal schools do.
And that's what I was used to in California.
Right.
Yeah.
So my ex and I had this envisioned thing of streamers running down to her feet and it costing over $100. And it was a cute $20 white roses matched to her dress.
And I don't think that we mentioned in the intro episode that he lives in another state.
Yes, absolutely. The boys, my guys, their father lives in another state with his wife and their own blended family. She has a son from a previous marriage. They have two children since they've gotten together, and they do live in another state. So we have that dynamic where my son's father lives in one state, and Chooch's son and lives in another state with his mother. And so T to get everybody to see each other during the year, we're talking three states, and it's right. complicated and yeah. fun, which is another discussion for another day. I'm sure you'll hear about that. But so our big dynamic was, the big contribution was, you know, towards the actual flower that M's girlfriend would be wearing. And that was kind of where his dad kind of put his two cents in. And then that was pretty much it. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I did a lot of running with M this week on getting everything done, picking out the corsage, making sure we had everything straight and ironed out. And then
she was tie matched her dress color.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And trying to find teal in October is not fun. I can tell you that right now, but she looked absolutely beautiful in that teal dress. So I'm really glad she picked that color. But anyways, the big moment that I thought was pretty significant was, when I came up to our loft this morning and M was sitting with Chooch, and Chooch was, they were talking, obviously, it's this big, you know, how do you tie a tie thing that we keep going around and around with.
In his other extracurricular activities with school,
yes.
he frequently needs to wear a suit.
Yes.
And the tie comes up every time.
Yes.
And generally, I tie it for him,
mm-hmm.
or I'll tie it on my neck and then pull it over my head and transfer it over.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me today and said, I think I really need to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
Or to, you don't have to keep doing it over and over, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He had, with one of his ties, he had gotten an instruction book that had a bunch of different ways to tie a tie. And he had that in one hand. He said, which one do you do? And I said, oh, well, I always try to do this one. And I'm really not very good with it. I do have to wear ties, not totally
not
frequently,
often.
But frequent enough. And so we just started going through it,
yeah.
and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a really neat bonding thing that I intruded on today that I didn't realize I was intruding onto until he kind of scattered.
I think part of it has to do with his nervousness,
yeah.
The first big dance and first time.
Oh, yeah.
Bring his girlfriend out to the big formal thing.
Right.
And, of course, he's not nervous.
Oh,
he
no.
He says he's not
nervous. No, he's not nervous at all.
But,
well, he did admit to me he was nervous earlier today when it was just the two of us, but he quickly backtracked out of it.
I had to make a run to a store, and I grabbed my keys and grabbed a hat. I'm heading towards the door, and he had walked up and said, oh, can I go with you? And I'm like, sure. And then, where are you going?
Right.
Oh, well, I'm running to
Costco. Didn't even
Costco
know where you were going.
I got to grab a couple things. And he said, oh, well, yeah, I'll go with you. I've got a band I want you to hear.
Yeah.
And that was really out of character.
Very out of character.
And speaks to, I'm sure, how nervous he was.
Yeah.
And I was a little nervous myself, thinking he's got some big question or
some big discussion.
Something he wants to talk about.
Right.
And it wasn't. We drove to the store, we played the music, and that was pretty cool. We talked a little bit about dancing.
Yeah. Which he's not a dancer. The last time we talked about this, the last time that I had seen him dancing was when he was like 5 or 6 years old at a wedding. And he was letting his little freak flag fly. But the child does not dance now for love nor money. But the girlfriend likes to dance. So, hence
which
the conversation.
So I said, are you ready for the dance part of the dance? And he said, not really. And I said, does she like to dance? He said, oh, yeah. So, well, the important thing, doesn't matter how awkward you feel, just the fact that you're there with her, and even if it looks really ugly, that you're trying.
Yeah.
Women love that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
In fact, you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
So.
And they're very close. So she knows that he's not a dancer. She knows mm-hmm. that it's a big stretch for him, confidence-wise and all of those things, to dance. So that is really what will matter to her. So that was really good advice. And to preface all of that, it was really a big surprise. He had to get up this morning and take the pre-SATs. M is a junior in high school.
And they had the big game last night.
They had the big homecoming game last night. And then for some idiot reason, the school decided to have the pre-SATs. You know, the football game is Friday night. The pre-SATs are at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. And then homecoming is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And underway as we speak. And I think that's just insane and cruel. And he was exhausted. You know, he came home excited from the game and he had trouble falling asleep. And I think at midnight, I finally just, you know, growled at him enough that he went to bed, admittedly exhausted. And so it was really hard getting him up this morning, and he was exhausted, and I fixed him the breakfast, and he still wasn't awake when he got out of the car. Mm. So when I picked him up 3 hours later,
yeah,
he was butt tired. He was nodding off in the car. So we had to go get his pants from the alteration place. We had to pick up her corsage. And then I said, you know, go to sleep. You don't have to be up and getting ready until 4 o'clock. Go get some sleep. That way you're fresh tonight. You're rested. You can really enjoy the night. Well, he was too excited to sleep, because by the time we ran those two errands and came home, he was still tired, but he didn't want to sleep.
Right.
And so about the time that I said, you know, it's 1 o'clock. If you don't get a nap now, you're not going to get a nap. So why don't you think, oh, I guess it's about 1:30. But anyways, he went and headed upstairs to take a nap.
Right.
And then an hour later, I was telling T, our tween, to keep the noise down because his brother was taking a nap. And he said, I saw him in the car with Chooch. And it was like, what? And it was like, oh, okay. So as exhausted as he was, he really needed that male bonding time. And again, as I frequently find myself, I'm so grateful that he is able to reach out to you as a male role model, because I don't know that he obviously didn't call his dad in this situation, and it would have been an awkward conversation to have over the phone. And, you know, you're not his father.
Right.
You are definitely a big part of his life, and obviously a big part of where he reaches out to for guidance. And so I was once again grateful that I made such a good choice in a stepfather for them and in a husband for myself, that they feel comfortable enough with you. And I think that that's a dynamic of a blended family, that we don't get to witness that little joyous moment that often, that little, there's the payoff.
You know?
And of course, I'm such a needy, high maintenance girl that I was like, well, he didn't come to me. But of course he didn't come to me. That's something that you go to another man for.
Yeah.
If you're a boy, you go to a man. If you're a girl, you go to a woman. That's one of those rites of passage things.
And it's a little strange for me. Not strange, but somewhat difficult, because growing up, my father wasn't around a lot. My parents divorced when I was pretty young. And even though he lived nearby, we didn't have a whole lot of contact. So I didn't have as much experience of that as a son.
Right.
And then the blended dynamic of, you know, he has a father, and I have a hard time approaching him or saying something about different subjects, because I think, you know, is this, am I overstepping a bound, or am I
being sensitive to that?
Right. And so then he comes to me, and it's fascinating how once we start talking about something, how easy it comes.
Yeah.
And that that we do have a bond. And
yeah.
So I don't know what I was trying to say.
Well,
but it's difficult, but it works really well.
But there it is. It, you know, it's definitely a hard thing to initiate.
Mm-hmm.
And with our surly teen, as I like to call him sometimes, a lot of times the only thing you get from him at this point, he's 16 and a half roughly, and so a lot of what we get is grunts and, you know, you know, I don't want to, or oh, that's good, or, you know, it's very caveman.
Right.
So getting him to open up is difficult, and if you try to get him to open up, forget it, you've already lost.
Yeah.
He has to come to you in a natural fashion in his time, and then it's like an oyster opening up, and there's the pearl. Mm-hmm. You don't get that very often, and it's so rare that it's really special when it happens. And then I intruded into the room, stomp. You know, hey guys, what's going on?
Oh, we were doing the tie.
And I'm trying to back out, and it's too late. The moment's ruined.
Yeah,
but that's my job as a mom, to ruin the fun. Finding. But it was really
so I'd given a couple more tips. He went and locked himself in one of the bathrooms, came out with an awesomely tied tie. He did really well.
He did. He had the confidence after talking to you about it, I think. And I think that's another really great thing, is that you're very nurturing, and you're very easy to talk to.
Mm.
And I know that our tween, T, picks up on that, because he's very affectionate with you. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, you've been... You know, we've gotten those years where
the Christmas presents that he gave you had dad written on it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't call you dad. It's not like he says, come here, dad. He says, come here, Chooch. And he says those kinds of things.
Right.
But in his heart, you know, you've been that father figure for him for the last 4+ years,
yeah.
4.5 years. So that's, you know, that's kind of what our little dynamic this week is with our little into the blender moment. And it was exhausting and, you know, expensive as you expect homecoming to be, but
we're still at the dance, so we're not done yet.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So it's just one of those things where you know that they're going to have a great time and you know that they're going to have memories, but, you know, to find the memories that we found along mm-hmm. the way with this journey with him was pretty remarkable, and a really special moment
yeah.
for Chooch and M was had. It was really a beautiful thing. And one of those rewarding moments when you're in the blender, so to speak,
yeah.
that you just don't, like we said before, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So it was really great.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender. You can find information, comment on episodes, or subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 U.S. license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content. Just not modify or profit from it.
Rachel.
Sally.